Hey, listeners, and welcome back to the Grace Project podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bullock, also author of the book, The Grace Project, available now on Amazon.com. For those of you who are reading the book, things are heating up, and you should have read chapters 3 and 4 to get the most out of this particular podcast. Again, read chapters 3 and 4. And if you haven't read the book, and nothing's going to be spoiled for you in this podcast, this just complements the chapters 3 and 4. But please, if you haven't read, continue listening. In one of the journal reflections in the book, in one of these chapters, I tell a story from the Bible about a woman caught in adultery. This comes from John chapter 8. And I want to read an excerpt of it now from the Message translation of the Bible. It says, "The religious scholars led in a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone." By the way, when they stood her in plain sight of everyone, some scholars and interpreters believe she was in a very unclothed, compromised position, as if this had happened recently, or she would even have been entrapped. This was a trap for her and for Jesus. So you can imagine the situation with her being in plain sight here in front of a crowd and in front of Jesus. So it continues. "They stand her in plain sight of everyone and said, 'Teacher, the law gives orders to stone to death," of course, "such persons. What do you say?' And Jesus said, 'The sinless one among you, go first.' Hearing that, they walked away." This woman is likely drugged, naked, displayed shamefully in public, and she had committed a crime. She had done something that was morally, spiritually wrong. There was no out for her in that. She made a mistake. And as you read the book, for those of you who are reading, these characters, some of them, so far, have even made wrong decisions, or they will make very wrong decisions. One of the things that I heard when we were doing small group studies for this book early on was people would give me feedback saying, "But don't we need to address sin? Do we just keep giving grace to people? Do we just continually forgive gracefully to people who keep sinning without telling them to stop sinning?" And some of them would actually point out this story, because Jesus then tells the woman, after these people walk away, he lifts her up off the ground and he says, "I forgive you. Go and sin no more." So shouldn't we tell other people not to continue going on sinning? And in that same reflection section in the journal, in the book, I ask readers to consider those hot button people, those hot button topics that they might be referring to, where they are frustrated at the sin that they're seeing or the wrongdoing that they're seeing. And to write the name of somebody who embodies that, that difficult, frustrating, or even sinful thing that you see. And my response is to look at what Jesus has called us to do in this story. If you are sinless, write a condemnation of that person and everything that you see them doing wrong. Just write a condemnation. Be as searing and don't hold back as possible. But if you're not sinless, and I'm guessing you aren't, then I want you to, instead of walk away like the Pharisees and the religious leaders did in the story, instead of continuing to sit in the anger and the frustration as some prophets like Jonah did when they delivered the news of condemnation and wrath, instead I want you to write a prayer over that person, asking God to increase both your understanding of them and your love for them. That's a really difficult thing to do, and I am not ignoring the question, shouldn't we tell people to stop sinning? What do we do about those who continue to go on sinning? Again, my desire with this book is not to talk about boundary creation, and to some extent, that's a boundaries issue. There are times We need to create healthy boundaries with those who continually do things that hurt themselves or others. And I want to recognize that now. The purpose of this project is to help you and me develop our grace muscle. And to do that, we have to tap into the what I think is the first attribute of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is probably one of the most challenging things for me to do. I am not a patient person, and patience does not come naturally to me. And when I see people who I object to, I object to their positions, or I don't like what they're doing, or I think what they're doing is wrong, I become impatient. I become frustrated. I become angry. And this is a response that I think Jesus was confronting when he saw the Pharisees and the religious leaders bring this woman to him. They were frustrated at what she was doing. They were frustrated at him. They were impatient. They demanded an answer. And Jesus did give an answer. He gave an answer of forgiveness. He forgave her. He gave her mercy. And then he gave her grace in that moment of healing by getting rid of those accusers and treating her with respect. Jesus responds to all of these people in the situation with one of the first attributes of love, which is patience. And for us to extend grace to those who we might think are sinful, or to those that maybe aren't sinful but have a different position than we do, we have to tap into the fruit of the Spirit that is patience. And that is a difficult, difficult thing to do. I am not saying the question of should we tell them to stop sinning or not isn't one that we shouldn't explore. I'm not saying it's an irrelevant question, but I will say, I might argue, that it's not the question that we need to be asking when it comes to working on our grace. If we trust that God's power of love is truly as transformative as we say it is, then we must believe that God can transform lives. And we can't. And so let us pray over those who are the most frustrating, who are sinning continuously. Let us start there. Instead of demand, like the religious leaders, demand that he give us an answer on how to fix their wrongdoing and their wrong. Stop and pray. Pray for understanding, pray for kindness, but pray for patience. And patience can show up as understanding someone's position better. Patience can show up as long-sufferingness, being silent when you want to react, making your first response to stop and listen and pray over those who are the most difficult. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing listening to this podcast, your homework right now, I want to encourage you to stop what you're doing, to think of the person who is the most frustrating to you right now, or who you look at and say, this person is continually sinning and sinning and sinning, and it's driving me crazy. I want you to think of one of those people, the one who's driving you crazy, who has a different opinion, who's diametrically opposed to you. And instead of asking God to fix them, I want you to pray for them. Pray for them with patience. And ask God to teach you patience with this person. Because as you become more patient, as I become more patient, we become ambassadors of love to the world and to the person that we are praying for. And in that love, in the love of Jesus Christ, comes transformation. So this week, stop what you're doing, take a moment, pray for patience, and continue to grow that grace muscle. I will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.